www.ReverendRoy.com. You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
We are back live at 3:35. Now, just imagine you're interviewing for a job, you're leading a meeting, or you're handling an unhappy client, and then guess what? You get a question you didn't anticipate. What do you do? Well, we have the man here on the other line who knows all about that. His name is Bob Cullham. He's written a book called Getting to Yes and The Art of Business Improv. And I have to ask you, Bob, what does improv have to do with business?
Hi, DJ. Well, I'm glad to be here. Improv has so much to do with business. When you define improvisation like we do in Getting to Yes And, with these three core competencies, reacting, adapting, and communicating. If you're reacting, you're focused and you're present in real time at a very high level. If you're adapting, you're trying to react within a parameters or achieve a specific outcome within a strategy. And of course, communicating, as we are never floating in space or in a vacuum. There's always someone with whom we can react and adapt and communicate. So if you focus on those three major skill sets, it links to business in a number of different ways.
And Bob, some of the people who have endorsed your book are Ken Blanchard. He is the co-author of The New 1 Minute Manager and Collaboration Begins With You. In addition, Jack Canfield, the CEO of the Canfield Training Group. He also wrote The Success Principles. What kind of business background, and for that matter, improv background, do you have?
Well, I have an undergrad in business from the University of Illinois at Chicago, and appropriately enough, it's a BS in business. And then I have 21 years worth of boots on the ground, school of hard knocks experience in improvisation, the majority of which was in Chicago, where I was trained literally by the people who created the current art form of improvisation before they passed away. My mentor created the Second City Training Center, a man named Mark DeMont, an incredible guy. And then for the last 18 of those 21 years, I have been linking improvisation to business, first on the university level, as I'm an adjunct professor at the Duke University Fuqua School of Business, and also an adjunct professor at Columbia Business School, and have other great relationships like with UCLA Anderson. And I am founder and CEO of my own company, Business Improv, wherein we go into companies and work with business people on how to use the tenets of improvisation to succeed. And then the path that I go from, or I take rather, from the experiential learning that improvisation naturally provides to business and these business schools and businesses is through cognitive psychology, behavioral psychology, organizational theory, etc.
And I would imagine this would be useful for somebody who is either becoming an entrepreneur or might be in commission sales or might be looking for ways to move up the corporate ladder, correct?
Improvisational mindset is, in fact, an entrepreneurial mindset. And I can say that firsthand as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. We have to react and adapt and focus and succeed, especially when all signs point toward failure. Failure is not an option for us. We have to continue to pull up our bootstraps and find new ways to succeed. And in my company, Business Improv, we focus on customized business programs, so we are in a constant state of relationship building as it relates towards sales and longevity of relationships. So the tenets of improvisation relate directly towards sales and entrepreneurship.
And what do you say to people who think that improv is just making stuff up?
Well, that actually undermines and discredits the skill set directly needed to improvising at a very high level. Because just making stuff up implies that that's all you have. You know, that's the best you can do when the excrement hits the oscillator and everything else is going wrong. You just made stuff up. As opposed to looking at really as a skill set that needs to be focused on, fine-tuned, and sharpened in order to do it at a high level. And the way that I would directly answer that question is, look at elite athletes. We had the Super Bowl yesterday. Did improvisation take place at all in any of those plays?
Probably.
Yes. Did they learn the plays? Did they study their opponents? Did they study the plays? Learn their team? Absolutely.
There
right?
you go. It's being prepared, isn't it?
That is. That's correct. So you do all the homework and you lay the foundation down so that once it's time to actually improvise, you're improvising at a different level than those who don't practice this at all.
And Bob, the title of your book is Getting to Yes And. So what is the difference between yes and yes but?
Well, there's a huge difference between yes and yes but. Let's first focus on yes but. I go to a military axiom to sum it up. But eliminates everything said before it. Through restrictions, denials, contradictions, steerings, it somehow undermines that yes and even negates that yes. And when said over and over again from one person to another person, yes, but, or even said emphatically, like you're trying to motivate somebody and you're screaming yes, but at them, it actually turns into a condescending no. It feels like a no to the person on the receiving end of that, and it feels like the person who's saying it, especially on a regular basis, is trying to create smoke and mirrors and fool the person who's on the receiving end of that yes, but.
And
whereas,
go ahead, I'm
yes,
sorry.
Go ahead. Oh, please, I'm sorry.
I'm thinking about, you know, with the election campaign, you know, just over, I always admired politicians. I don't say I like them, but I admire them because everywhere they go, they are on the spot and they're being asked things they're expected to respond to right away. How can they benefit from your book?
First, if you listen, truly listen. Improvisers have to be good at listening and have to be good at empathizing, taking time to understand what's being said and even the subtext or context and how it's being said so that there's a relatability, which means that you're trying to build a connection with people. And also adaptive problem solving. If you take yes and, which, by the way, different than yes but, which is a shutdown or a negation, yes and is forward motion, it's fluidity, mm-hmm. it's inclusiveness. And you use yes and to build those relationships and even create a yes and adaptive problem solving mentality. We look towards solutions and possibilities and potential rather than reasons why we can't collaborate and can't communicate or what's wrong.
Wow. Now, a little bird told me that you did some training with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Once upon a time, they were both my coaches for brief periods of time, yes.
Wow. What'd you learn from them?
You know, one of the greatest things I learned from them actually was watching them perform together on stage. They were part of a fantastic group, and they would improvise at an elite level independently of each other, and then once they were together in the same show at the same time, they were just extraordinary. As coaches, from Tina, I really learned structure. The basic foundational block of don't try to be funny, don't try to be clever, don't try to be creative, try to be supportive, be a great team player, do the best you can to make other people's ideas succeed at a high level. From Amy, I learned that, you know, if you're going to really let your personality come out in any context or any situation, whether it's improv comedy or in an interview, for example, you've just got to relax and perform at the top of your intelligence and have fun.
Is this in any way related to emotional intelligence?
Absolutely. Improvisation is a key to actually unlocking emotional intelligence in yourself and other people. For this major reason, in order to react, adapt, and communicate at the top of your intelligence, you actually have to be present in real time. If you ever go to an improv show, you'll see that they're dealing in the here and now. And if you're really focusing on being present, you have to slow the brain down. You have to learn how to be present. And those are key aspects to emotional intelligence, recognizing it in yourself and recognizing it in other people. If you're going to recognize it, you actually have to then, of course, be aware of it, which means that you have to be in the here and now.
We are speaking with Bob Culhan. He is the author of Getting to Yes and The Art of Business Improv. Now, Bob, you mentioned the importance of listening. And there's an old stereotype about salespeople that they're big talkers, big yakkers. But isn't it true that the best salespeople are the best listeners and thus they know which key questions to ask?
The best salespeople are, in fact, the best listeners because not only are they able to ask those key questions, they're able to ask those questions because they're listening so intently to what's being said to them that they're able to pull out key words, key themes, nuances. They're able to understand what's being said to them at a different level and then reincorporate what's being suggested or said to them in the form of questions, which then show the listener or the person with whom they're communicating, that they, as the salespeople, are actually listening to them as well. So they're forming those relationships and building those bridges in real time.
So how can a corporate culture that may perhaps be having trouble with retaining their talent, how can they benefit from learning all this?
Well, it's a basic human desire to be understood. or at least believe that we're being understood, believe that people take the time to understand us and get us. I mean, it's really the key to all great relationships, right? Somebody understands you. And if you can create an environment, a culture in which people feel that they're being understood, that feels like their opinions matter, their perspective has value, their input actually builds into the greater overall success, you create intrinsic motivation in other people. You're showing them that you are investing in them as human capital, and in turn, they start investing in you as a leader and investing to the team and investing to the culture and the greater good. And then what we find is that the greater collective consciousness of teams outweighs that of individuals, and that also pulls people in, because we all want to have that sense of belonging.
Mm-hmm. Bob, I know you've worked a great deal with millennials. Describe for us the difference in training and mentoring millennials versus baby boomers.
The age difference really does end up coming into play. And the reason I say that is not because of age on its own. It's rather the fact that if you go back 15, 16 years ago, most people didn't know really about improvisation. In fact, it wasn't even accepted in Hollywood. So the last 15, 16 years, improvisation has slowly been, in some ways, inculcated into our mainstream. And baby boomers have to catch up to that, whereas millennials grow up with it. And so they're very improvisational by nature. They absorb content at a faster rate. They are very much in tune with the need to serve a greater purpose. Overall, you know, there's a generality. I know that it's hard. You can't put baby boomers or generation. I'm Gen X. You know, I'm the undefined generation. They didn't even know what to say about us. It's like, I'll just give them an undefined variable. X. That's good enough. You can't put every group into one single bracket.
Sure.
However, there are certain commonalities that exist.
So what are some of the obstacles to incorporating improv at the office?
Well, first, you have different biases, right? So you have people who resist to change, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You have change resistors and you have change insurgents. And those change resistors then start falling on different biases like status quo bias. If it's not broke, why break it? We've been succeeding so far at this level because of what we've been doing. Why do we need to change? Ignoring the fact that technology has changed over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years. The way we communicate with each other has changed. The global community has become smaller and smaller, so that we, in some capacities, are competing with people on the opposite side of the world. That still is not enough to get people to want to change. You know, there's work associated with change. There's development. There's structure that needs to be adapted. And also, there's elements like fear that come into play. When you start looking at barriers to change, you actually start defining barriers to creativity. You start defining barriers to collaboration and adaptability. And by extension, you start defining barriers to improvisation. So by defining barriers to one, you're defining barriers to five. And these are some of the many things that you will come across when implementing any new design. So it's important to look at how to implement this design by answering some specific questions. Why this? Why now? What do I have to do? And what do I get out of it? And if you could define that from the people you lead, from their perspective, you put yourself in a greater position to succeed.
Bob, some comedians I've interviewed told me that while it looks like they're making it up while they're on stage, it so happens that when they're driving to the performance, and this may be a cross-country drive, they are rehearsing and listening to their routine dozens, maybe hundreds of times, so that if something happens during the performance to knock them offline, they're back on right away. Do you recommend the same thing for business people to learn this so well that if something happens, they can get right back on track?
Well, absolutely. You know, if you're going to give a presentation, one of my great friends, Susan Messing, used to say to learn a monologue, which I'll put in line with a presentation, you should learn it so well that you could have several glasses of wine and wash dishes and recite it verbatim, or clean the house, or take a shower. So doing something else where really your focus and attention is driven, you should be able to have the monologue or presentation memorized to such a great degree that it's now second nature to you. And in doing so, you find authenticity in the words that you're saying. And that which would distract other people and throw them off course is just a matter of reacting and adapting to you. So now the tenets of improvisation get to be put into place because you've trained so well to succeed.
The author is Bob Culhan. That's K-U-L-H-A-N. The name of the book is Getting to Yes and The Art of Business Improv. Bob, how can people get a copy of your book?
Well, please come to our website, gettingtoyesand.com, or go to any place that sells books online, or go to your local bookstore and ask them to buy it, gettingtoyesand.com. It's a Stanford University Press publication, so it's legit.
Of course.
And, of course, you could follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well.
And if you're a fan of 30 Rock or The Middle, keep in mind, even Jack McBrayer says, Bob Culhan's skills as an improvisational teacher and player offer an insightful and energetic point of view. Bob, thanks for joining us today on Q&A. Best of success with Getting to Yes and The Art of Business Improv.
DJ, thank you for having me. It was great fun.
Indeed. That's Bob Culhan, author and sales and business advisor and consultant. Back with some final thoughts on Q&A and tomorrow's guests in just a moment on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. And we stream live right to your smartphone at kqna.com. Don't go away.
Mike Rowe here. Today I'm with Frank, one of the heating and cooling pros at 1 Hour. Frank's got his head up a vent right now. How's it going up there?
I'm going to break up, Mike.
Frank knows what he's talking about. He's been with 1 Hour for how long, Frank?
14 years.
That's a long time. Over that time, he's worked on tons of different equipment, taken countless hours of training, and that makes Frank the man.
No, Mark Rowe's
the man. I'm sorry, Frank. Say again.
Mike Rowe's the man.
I heard him the first time. For any heating need, call 855-1-HOUR today. Say it again, Frank.
Mike Rowe's the man.
That's what I'm talking about. Each independent franchise is licensed in its respective state or county.
It's almost Valentine's Day, time for waiting in line at a crowded restaurant or movie. You know, like every year. Hi, I'm Elizabeth from Prescott Gun Club. Do you want to really get your honey's heart racing? Join us for our Valentine's Day couple shoot at the range with a chance to win some great prizes. Bring your sweetie to Prescott Gun Club and make them the target of your affection. The shoot ends at 6 p.m., so plenty of time for steak and champagne. So if you love to shoot or are shooting for love, register online at PrescottGunClub.com. Limited to 16 couples.
Hi, my name is Robbie Hinshaw, General Manager of Tim's Family Auto Group. And like many businesses here in Prescott area, we are locally owned and operated. You have no doubt heard this statistic before, but it bears repeating. For every $100 spent at a locally owned business, $73 remains in the local economy. For every $100 spent at a non-locally owned business, only $43 remains. That is amazing. Think of all the things we can accomplish here in our local community simply by shopping at locally owned businesses. Where you buy your morning coffee, lunch or dinner, which architect, painting company, outfitter, landscape company, or carpet cleaner you choose matters. When you choose to support local businesses, you are supporting your local schools, fire, police, and parks departments, and so much more. So next time you have a choice, choose local and make a difference in our community. Tim's Auto Group at the corner of Willow Creek Road and Commerce Drive, and always online at timsauto.com. Tim's, you can count on us.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
It's time to get away for your winning experience at Aquarius Casino Resort in Laughlin, Nevada, located on the scenic Colorado River. Winner of 18 Best of Awards with free Wi-Fi and refrigerators in every room and never a resort fee. Play, stay, and win at Aquarius now with rates starting at $47.99. Call 800-662-5825 today and mention code SPR1QRP or visit us at AquariusCasinoResort.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Well, if you have friends in Atlanta, today is probably not the day to call them. You do need to give people time to grieve after a loss like that last night at the Super Bowl. My goodness gracious. But you know what? Tom Brady lost something, too. Right after the game, the Patriots removed their jerseys so they could put on those Super Bowl champion T-shirts. Well, somebody took Brady's jersey. That's worth something, and you can probably look for it real soon on two very popular online fencing sites. I won't mention their names, but I'm sure you can figure out who I'm talking about. Yeah, poor Tom Brady lost his game-worn Super Bowl champion number 5 jersey. What would you pay for something like that? My goodness. Well, anyway, I mentioned earlier that the Sleepless in Seattle is showing tomorrow night at the Harkins 14 in Prescott Valley. And speaking of movies, this is the time when you want to see the Oscar-nominated movies before the Oscars telecast on February 26th. And just this past weekend, I saw Jackie, Moonlight, and Fences. That means I've now seen 6 of the 9 Best Picture nominees. I hope to see Hacksaw Ridge, Arrival, and Hidden Figures before Oscar night. That would complete all 9 Best Picture nominees. Right now, the Harkins has Hidden Figures, Fences, La La Land, Manchester by the Sea, Jackie, and Moonlight. They're showing this week, but you better get there quickly if you want to see Manchester by the Sea or Moonlight. I think they disappear Friday. You know, they got to make room for the Lego Batman movie and 50 Shades Darker. Good grief. Anyway, coming up tomorrow on Q&A, I will talk with Gary Beverly with the Sierra Club about outdoor and water issues. That is at 3 o'clock tomorrow when I will see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQNA. Today's program was sponsored by Prescott College, The Frame and I, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, the Yavapai County Contractors Association, the City of Prescott, and Yavapai Regional Medical Center. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQNA, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 in Prescott, and 95.5 FM in Cottonwood and Prescott Valley, KQNA.